And God has set Christ at his own right hand in the heavenly places, above all principality, power, might, and dominion. You know what that means? That means when you sit down with him, you will sit down above all other powers in the universe. As a brother to Christ, an adopted son of God, one with God. That's just... talk about your unsearchable riches. You can't get to the bottom of that. You can't get to the end of that. There's no searching it out. This is his eternal purpose. This is what he purposed from eons ago in Christ Jesus, was to use him to make himself other sons in this particular way. The angels are called the sons of God in the Old Testament. And that was from the reference of the people on earth, the way they looked at him as the sons of God. But now, God is taking fleshly, carnal man and raising them up even higher than the angels, to where it says, Paul even says, don't you know that you will judge angels? Sit in judgment, which means a superior position. Wow. We have boldness and access with confidence. For the faith of him. Why? Because, and that's where it comes from. It comes from the faith of him. The faith that he gives us. It is the gift of God. He gives us faith so that we could have boldness and access with confidence. Not that I have boldness because I think I have boldness. It is because I've been raised up in faith and in knowledge. And through the faith of him, I have had Christ, his seed planted in me. He has been formed in me, and now he lives in me, and through me, and by me, so that I am as he was. And the only things, there are obviously things keeping me back from being totally like Christ at this present moment, 2009, the month of April. But I know with faith that there's nothing keeping me back ultimately. I mean, I'm going to obtain, I haven't suffered persecution. I haven't been afflicted in the Gospels for the Gospel's sake. So, those things have to happen. I always think, Lord, let them happen when my children are grown, but, you know, because I think, I tell you what, I'm not a man who, I love living in peace. I do. But I know, to be like Christ, it can't be for me forever like that. And I do want to be like him. So faith teaches me, I will suffer. I must suffer. And if it be the loss of all things, then that's what it has to be. Though my heart trembles at the thought of it. Verse 13 had said, I desire that you don't faint at my tribulations. I mean, don't. You know, don't you be weak. That means to be weak. You know, don't you be weak on my account. The things I go under for you, tribulation just means, you know, like pressure, high pressure situations, trouble, you know, on your behalf. It's your glory. This is weird. The things he suffered because of them, for them, on their behalf, was a glory for them, and that they shouldn't be weak over it. Wow. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I guess because they still, you know, you think about it, when Jesus was being taken away to be crucified, they all forsook him. You know, but the Father was with him, as he said. John chapter 16. And I see how that is glory. When he suffered things on their behalf, you know, and they don't faint. I think that what he says is, I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. It's your glory that you do not faint at those tribulations. If the apostles could have stood by Christ in his tribulations, it would have been more glory. But it wasn't meant to be, and I'm not going to be critical of them, because that was how it was supposed to be. All men were supposed to forsake him. But when they stood by the apostle Paul, that was glory. Because the temptation is always to just give up and run away, you know, to forsake the men of God who are suffering for you. You know, because it's uncomfortable. It's like they're suffering on your behalf. And you think, oh, I don't want them to suffer for me. And then just, it's not me. And you give it up, so you think, so then now they're not suffering because of me. It's foolish. I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This may be the verse going back to the subject of verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, etc., 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 to the intent, according to... I mean, he was hearkening back to it, to the intent, and so on and so forth. But for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, because he repeats the phrase, for this cause. What? For the cause of the uniting of the body. And here he says right here, for of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. There's that family in heaven. It's like, oh, my dead relatives. No, no, no. God has myriads of angels. But even so, if their names are written in heaven, as well as rejoice not, Jesus said, rejoice not that the devils are subject to you, but rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. I like that. Strengthened with might by the Spirit of God in the inner man. The inner man is where all the important actions take place for the Christian walk, because, you know, it is what governs the outer man. It's what bridles the tongue. It's what, you know, restrains the lusts of the eyes and the lusts of this and that and the other. I mean, truly, the lust of the eyes, how does a man even control that? It has to come by faith. I mean, what I mean is, how does let grace reign through righteousness? Meaning, when grace is given, and then righteousness comes, and that shows, that's a manifestation of the reign of grace in the life of the believer. And so, you know, a man, how does a man ever get to see things differently?